Right, we're in the middle of the watch on page Kuf Lamid Hey. Okay, we are in the middle of the watch. And after we do this, I want to discuss with you some practical halacha b'nogea binyan v'soyser, which I collected from Rabbi Riviat Sefer, reviewing much of what we learned yesterday in the last 2-3 days. But let's first finish up what we learned over here about the watch. We have here b'ayin b'shut, it's on page Kuf Lamid Hey. On page Kuf Lamed Hey in the bottom, in the Shi'arim Mitzvah B'Halacha, on the second line, the Ayin B'Shut Hara Karmel, Shemutu L'Harich HaShoyin B'Oyin Hoylech B'Cholin. Okay, we discuss when you're allowed to wind up a watch on Shabbos. So, he paskins that you're allowed, we discuss this, that you're allowed to, if the watch is already functional, the watch is working, so you're allowed to wind it to that it should continue to work. Shemutu L'Harich HaShoyin B'Oyin Hoylech while it's going B'Cholin. V'chein Kasa B'Shut Chasam Sefer. Page Kuf Lamed Hey. Kuf Lamed Hey on the bottom in the Shemes of Halacha on the second line. Keshmud l'harich Hashem b'yorech ha'hilich v'cholin v'chein chasa b'shut chasam sefer v'ayin b'zebrich megadim v'ayin b'shut toris yikusiel shehei v'kein me ha'goyin ha'kodesh b'al diri yecheskel mishinva u'mi aviv ha'bal diri chayim shenagu kein b'yan they themselves would wind up their watch on Shabbos. So he's therefore certainly mutter. Why should Yantav be a difference than Shabbos? I do not know. Why? What's the difference? Yantav and Shabbos. It's not an Eichel Nefesh.
They didn't wear watches.
Oh, because of carrying. Ah, that's why. Because Shabbos, they considered it to be Muksa. Because Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. Ah, that's why. So that's the difference. Interesting. Okay. Pocket watch or even a regular watch. Pocket watch, even some people don't wear regulars. They regular watch they hold to be carrying. They don't hold for men to be in a tachshit. Different opinions. So the yeah.
The watches were already 24 hours.
The what? What?
Shabbos they didn't.
Shabbos they didn't have. They did not have to wind. What do you mean?
Because
anyway, one went 24 hours. So yomtiv was a 2-day yomtiv.
They already had a
wine for the next day. It should be not operational. That's what you want to say. Then I'll be shalav hachana. I'm only doing it today for the next day. But it'll be needed already. It's the next day. It's going to run out soon. It's ready the next day. It's the night, the second night. And if I don't do it now, it's going to run out. But it's not hachana because it's already the day has arrived. Okay, so we're saying another time. He said not because of muksa. It's because since it's 2 days, the spring only lasts for 24 hours. So you have to already do it the next day. No, it does apply. I mean, if you have a watch today that does wind. Today, the technology is, even though the mechanical watches, that when you shake it, it's self-winding. As you move it, what?
Yeah, Moshe was against the watches all the time.
Wearing the watches. Yeah. But winding the watches, there's shuvah on winding the watches?
Father never left because we did whatever on each side, you know. Like,
of Moshe. Yeah, yeah, of Moshe says it's also. It's also.
No gloves, no watches.
No gloves.
No earrings.
Put your hands in your pocket.
One earring.
The ayin b'shut sholom meshiv, the mutu lahavir hamoira, the mimakom lamakom. You're allowed to the moira. He seems that you're allowed to change the time. Isn't that what it means over here? I'm not sure. I think he means you're allowed even to change to adjust the arms of the watch, the clock. Mimakom lamakom. Chen kasa dahagos marashan. Chen kasa b'sefer darki chayim v'sholom shnagu kein admar bal minchas alazer. So what does it mean, the Moro? The Moro means the actual arms of the clock? Is that what it means? I'm not sure. We had that before. That's really a bigger chiddush. In order to go change action, to adjust the clock, to change your watch back on Shabbos, that's more problematic. Because then you're being misaking money. It's one thing when the watch is functional, the watch is actually ticking and you're just turning it. So what are you doing? I'm not being misaking money. I'm not adding anything new to it. It's already functional. I'm just keeping it going. But when the watch is not functional and I adjust the hands to be to the right location, that already is more problematic because you are making the ramake the patish. I am now putting a utensil in order. On the other hand, I'm not doing anything. That's what's meant to be. I'm not adding anything new piece to this machinery. I'm not adjusting anything permanently. I'm just using it the way it's used. And that requires me to put the hands in the right location. So it seems that not everyone agrees that it is us. Okay, now before we go to the next halacha, I want to review some things that I came across in the Sefer, the 39 Malachos by Rabbi Riviat with regard to Boine V'Saisa. Okay, the first thing I want to clarify. First, I want to clarify is the size of an oihel The size of an oil is one tefach by one tefach. I made a mistake. I told you the size of the oil has to be four tefachim by four tefachim. That is incorrect. An oil, the dimension of an oil is four, is one tefach by one tefach and a height of one tefach. If a person makes, is not allowed to make on Shabbos a shelter that protects a space which is basically 4 inches. 4 inches by 4 inches by a height of 4 inches. Now there are many conditions. Number one, to do that is aser. You have to have at least three walls. If you don't have three walls, you only have two walls, at most you're dealing with an issur midrabban. You're not, and all these only midrabban, by the way. In order to be chayv oil, the rice has to be permanently attached to the ground. But let's talk about issur midrabban. Number one, the condition number one is it must have at least three walls. If you don't have three walls, there's nothing to talk about. It's not, it's going to be mutter. Well, I shouldn't say that. Well, let me clarify. Number two, you have to want the purpose of putting the board is to bring shelter to what is underneath. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say you want to make a bench on Shabbos. You have some crates, you have some blocks. There's nothing inside. We'll come to a case where your crate is not a good example because there's an inside. But let's say you have right, something which is a what are they called?
A sawhorse?
Yeah, that's what you call S-A-W?
Yes.
Sawhorse. And you want to take a board, and you want to put the board on top to serve as a table or to serve as a chair, a bench. Is that musa or nasa? On the one hand, you'll tell me that it's awesome because I'm creating an oil. I'm creating now a shelter which is more than four, more than one tefach wide and a height of more than one tefach. The answer is, there are two reasons why it's mutter. Number one, you don't have four walls. Number one, you only have two walls. You only have, at most, you have any walls. Because if you even consider that to be a wall, one tefach already can be considered a wall. If you have a leg of a table, that's not called a wall. But if you have something which is one tefach, that already can possibly be a wall. But even if you have two significant walls, two different barriers on the side that you're going to use to support the board on top, that is only two, that is not three. Number two, you have no kavana whatsoever for creating a shelter underneath. You don't care about. Your goal is to use the surface. Your kavana is not to use what is underneath. So that's why it is perfectly permissible on Shabbos to take a board and to put a board on top of two different items in order to serve as a table or as a bench, and there's no prohibition of making all on Shabbos. Now here comes the problem. Let's say you want to take let me give you another example to the extreme, different example, then we'll tie them together. Let's say I have a milk crate, or I have a big box, and I want to use, that was the case of the kitchen, and I want to use that as a table, a barrel, and I want to use that as a, and you want to use it as a table. So I want to put a board on top of this box or this crate to cover it, so it should be a table. I am not allowed to do that. Why not? Even though it's a utensil, because it has at least three walls. Even though my kavana is not to create a shelter underneath, my kavana is to create a flat surface to put something on top, being that it has at least three walls, and I will automatically create a shelter inside this area, it is asur midrabana. So that's the halacha. Now, there's a very simple solution. The simple solution is, you can do one or two. Either you can first put the board. The only time that it's also is when you do it derech binyan, which means first you create the wall, and then you put the surface on top, the board on top. So if I put down the barrel, I basically have established created four walls, and then putting the board on top, I'm creating the shelter. That's a no-no. But if I just take the shelter, I take the board, and I hold the board like this. So right now I've created a shelter, and that shelter is 100% mutter, because that shelter is not for the purpose of underneath, the purpose for the top. And I'm holding it in my hand. By holding it in my hand, there are no walls whatsoever. And then I take the barrel, I put the barrel inside, I fashtup it inside to support the weight, mutter. So you can do it. You can use the barrel with the board as long as the order is first put on the board on top, and then put the walls in first. That's one technique. Another technique is to take the barrel and turn the barrel upside down. Now, turning the barrel upside down, let me ask you a simple question. Why is that even mutter? When I turn the barrel upside down, what have I done? I've created an ohel, and I've also created four walls.
Yeah.
Now, the answer is, when you turn a barrel upside down, what are you creating first? No, so what? It's open by turning a barrel upside down. I hear this tissue box. Let's say it's empty.
You have
an oil already. No, let me say. When you turn upside down, what you're really doing is by turning it upside down, you're first creating the surface, the horizontal surface. The bottom, there are breaches. There's more than three tefachim on the bottom. That's not called a mechitza. When you then put it down, every time you take a crate, a barrel, a box, and you turn it upside down, by definition, you've just done what I told you can do in this example. In this example, you're starting with cinder blocks. Right? A cinder block, there's no inside. Just a block here, a block here. I'm not allowed to take a block here, make something on top. Maybe you can close the door behind you. Just close the door. Just, that's the simple thing. Okay, so you have a cinder block. If you have two cinder blocks, okay, a cinder block here and a cinder block here, you are creating. If you have four walls, that the cinder block is not a good example. If you have a barrel and you first put the barrel right side up, you've made four walls. After you made the four walls, you put, oh, that's a no-no. So by turning it upside down, what was the solution I told you? The first solution is just hold in place the surface, and then put the barrel underneath to support it. Because that, what? One barrel.
If you're going to make two barrels.
No, so two barrels would be the same problem. If you have two barrels, because you're covering over the entire opening of each barrel. If you have two barrels, and each barrel has an inside, so you're doing a double avera. Let's talk about one barrel. One very wide barrel has a space of more than one tefach by one tefach. By putting the barrel here, and then taking a board and covering the opening of the barrel, what are you doing? You are creating an ohel. Can you close the door again? Because I'm sorry. There's someone back there.
Let's say you take the thing and then you put one barrel under the pit, then also slide in the second one. You can't start off with any barrel at all. Both have to be the same one.
Well, let's fill with one barrel. Let's focus on one barrel. Here's the barrel. Here you see a tissue box. There's a very big insight. If I put this down here, and then I take a board and I put it on top, I have just done an Issa Midrabanan. Why? What's the Issa Midrabanan? Because there are four walls. Being that there are four walls, and there is an open space inside of more than 4 inches by 4 inches by 4 inches in depth, and I've covered it completely, I have done an Issa Midrabanan of making an OL, because the cover is not miyuchet for the barrel. Let me go a step back. I have a very big pot. A very, very big pot, and not a big pot, even a small pot, that has an opening, has a lid. And why did I put a lid on top of the pot on Shabbos? 100% yes, because the lid was made for the pot. Anything that's miyuchid to cover a utensil does not have a din ohel. That's what we really should start with that. If you have a big pot or a small pot and it has a lid, and the lid is made to close this particular utensil, or there are many possible lids that are used interchangeably to cover utensil, it's miyuchid for closing the utensil, and it's not included in the Issa Midrabanan of ohel. Ohel is only when you take something that's not designated to serve as a cover. If I have a barrel and I take a board and a barrel are apples and oranges. They have nothing more to do with one another. By taking the board and covering the barrel, I have now created an ohel. Why is there an ohel? This is called an ohel. Well, it's not all midaraisa, but it's all midarabanan because it resembles construction, meaning that there are four walls. What's the solution? The solution is hold the board in place with your hand or get someone to hold it for you, and then take that barrel and stick it inside to serve as a support. Because in this instance, you've done construction shaloi kederech binyan. Why is this called shaloi kederech binyan? You first put up the horizontal section, and then you put up the vertical section. By extension, the concept of doing it shloik derech binyan is that you take a barrel and you turn it upside down and you put it on the ground. Because you'll ask the obvious question, well, how are you going to take a barrel and put a barrel upside down on the ground? You've also created an oel. Because the top of the barrel, the bottom of the barrel that's now inverted is serving as the horizontal section, and there are four parts that are serving as walls. So how are you ever allowed to take a barrel and turn it upside down and put it on the ground? The answer is because when you turn a barrel upside down, before you put it, you rest it in place, the walls are not secure. The walls are flimsy. Being the walls are flimsy because you've not yet positioned it, they're not called walls. There are no walls, and the horizontal surface is present. So the horizontal surface has come first, and now when I carefully put it down, I've now created walls. I've done it in the opposite way.
Solution would be to cover the barrel first with its cover.
And then put the board on top, or turn the barrel upside down and then put the board on top. And that's exactly what it said in the Kitchel. So this thing we brought out a couple of Yisoides. Utensils, a cover that's miyuchad, it's not shayach ohel. Mutter, garbage can, we give you beferish, a very large garbage can, mutter, beferish, it's miyuchad, the lid is miyuchad.
But can you use a different lid from a different garbage can?
Possibly yes, because many lids are interchanged. If you use a lid, if you're accustomed to use different lids, you interchange all the lids, old lids, some old garbage cans, back and forth, yes. Lids, it's what a lid is. It's a lid. So it wasn't made for this particular garbage can. A lid is a lid. As long as you're comfortable interchanging them back and forth, it's miyuchid for the garbage, it is okay. To go take a board, great idea, I'll go take a cardboard board, whatever, I'm going to use it to go cover the garbage can, or not. That's not what you normally do during the week. You're now creating an oil on Shabbos. If you want to do it, hold up the board first, and then stick in the garbage, and maybe it's going to be good. Even though I don't want to create an oil, but everything is midrabanan. Anything that's not mechubal karka is midrabanan. Okay, so this is now. And on the other hand, if you don't have four walls, okay, here's the case. If you don't have four walls, no problem. If you have only two walls, and you want to go put the two things here, two crates, which have no, and you put a board on top, that is no problem.
Can you turn the garbage cans over. Be able to do that.
Mutter, yes. Turning the garbage cans upside down is mutter lechatilu, because when you turn a garbage can upside down, what are you doing in essence? You're first creating a horizontal surface, and then you're creating a vertical surface. Yeah.
We
discussed yesterday umbrella, you're right. Umbrella, there are many heterim for umbrella. Umbrella goes, there's
no walls.
Umbrella, we're going to come to all the other reasons why umbrella is mutter. We're going to come to that out, and we'll come to that in a few moments. But let's put that aside for a moment. Let's just discuss the basic yisodis of Kalim. Now, okay, another example. Now, here's another problem. What about if you have two different cinder blocks and you're bored, but your kavani is to create a shelter? Like children want a shade. Children want to play. They want to play a tent.
A
teepee is better because there's no tefach on top. But it has to be very, very steep. Extremely steep, where you don't have the shear of three tefachim. You don't have one tefach within three tefachim. So you're getting involved in a very complicated issue there as well. But let's say you're out in the country and you want to go and make for yourself some shade. You'll say, listen, I have two garbage cans. I guess they're clean garbage cans, not going to smell. There are no bugs. And you turn them upside down. And then you want to put a board on top, and you want to lie underneath and protect yourself from the sun. So you will argue it's 100% mutter. What am I doing? There are only, it's not mechubal karka, so it's at best of the drabanan, and there are only two walls, and I'm doing it also shalei kederech binyan. I'm going to do it, even if you want to do shalei kederech binyan. It does not matter. In this instance, since your kavana is shelter, it's not for the surface as a table or a bench. Your kavan is to create an inside of shelter. That is automatically usur, even if it's only two walls. That is the halacha.
Kavan counts,
in this instance. Right. If your kavan is the surface...
And if there are no walls?
If there are no walls... Off, there are no, so it depends. Okay, so now you're coming into cloth. If there are no walls, so let's discuss Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, you spread a talus. How are you allowed to spread a talus? You're creating mamish and ohel.
So heads,
what?
No tefach.
No tefach, not necessarily. Okay, what about if you have it on poles? Let's say you have a talus that's on poles. So let's say you know a chuba. So the answer is, the rule is, any cloth, there are two conditions. Number one, has to be held by hand. Okay, it's not permanent, it's being held by hand. Number two, it's cloth, meaning that when you let go, it crumbles. It's not a felt. It's not, doesn't stay by itself. That is called the combination of oil yad, an old, I don't know the exact terminology, an oil that's held by hand. There are many reasons why. There are many, he keeps on coming back. Riviat, almost every other paragraph, he keeps on returning to the umbrella. He keeps on coming back to it and says, really, the umbrella should be mutter.
But have these tents that are called stressed.
Yeah.
Let's say there's a pole in the middle, there's a big pole, and you just pull up the tent.
Okay, so he talks about an umbrella, the umbrellas.
It's umbrella.
Awnings. We'll get that if we remember. Okay, one thing at a time. One thing at a time. It's mutter lechatchila. You're allowed to hold, to create an ohel as long as it's being held by hand. Ohel midraban is only also when it's attached. It's attached to it's attached. Or it's not going to move. You can go away. If it needs to be supported by your hands, and number two, it's a material that when you let go, collapses like a talus or any cloth, it is mutter. The only time it would be also is, let's say you have you want to hold up a tray. It's pouring rain. Okay, camp. Teenagers, or even other teenagers, it's pouring rain. You want to go get from the dining room, you want to get to the bunk. They'll give everyone a tray, a rack, carve a box. You're not allowed to. Oh, but it's an oil shaliyad, like an umbrella. Like this is an umbrella. It's an oil shaliyad. Being that it's an oil shaliyad, and but it doesn't, it's not cloth. It doesn't crumble. It's permanent. It's not moving. Umbrella is better because an umbrella is retractable. Umbrella is on a track, which goes up and down. It's like an awning, which is meant to open and close, which is even less than a problem. But a tray, or something which is just one flat piece of wood, holding it to create an oil, to shelter yourself from something, is also midrabanan. So if you want to go out home, or you want to go take a shmata, and hold a piece of cloth and go out in the rain to protect yourself and hold it in your hands, and you're going to create a big oil by holding it mutter, because it's cloth. When you let go, it collapses. But to take a box, a cardboard box, or to take a tray and to hold it over your head and to walk and to use it to protect yourself from the rain is also
because
it's an ohel. You have created what?
The walls.
You don't need walls. Midraban on anything that serves as a shelter where the kavana is. Your kavana is to provide shelter is also midraban. If your kavana is not for the shelter, your kavana is for the surface. Like taking a box in oil, or, and even though you're making an oil, but I don't care about the inside. What I care about is using the surface, then it's good. But when your kavana is for the inside, the shelter, then it's also midrabanan. Yeah?
Cloth is
mutter. Cloth is mutter because when you let go, it crumbles. It crumbles. That's why a talis on Simchas Torah is mutter lechatchila. You're holding it in your hands. That's number one. And number two, being that it's material, when you let go, the whole thing falls apart.
So put a box over your head.
No, it's also. A box over your head is also.
The barrel upside down.
Because the barrel, you're not having kavanah for the inside.
Okay.
You're not having kavanah, right? That's the difference.
You're putting the barrel and you want to protect something.
Asur. If you're putting the barrel to protect what's inside, it would be asur. Yes. If I have over here. No, you're making an oil. It's asur. It's asur. Yeah.
Tablecloth
is crumbles. Table on a table? On a table?
So you can use that as a cover.
If you hold it.
If it's raining, pouring rain.
On the schach.
You're coming out from shul. Oh my gosh, it's pouring outside.
And you
give me a tablecloth.
Yes, mutter. 100% mutter.
It was an Arab.
100% mutter. Yes, 100% mutter. Plastic. If it goes over your entire body, it goes over part of your body. A scarf.
You have a tablecloth that will go down.
Small amount. It should go down. It's good. It's good. It's more than enough. Yeah, over your shoulder. Has to go over your shoulder. A little bit over your shoulder. Even over your ears. It should give you some part of your body. That's called levisha. Okay. Now let's. Yeah.
I'm confused about kavanah.
Yeah.
Gave some examples when you kavanah not to make it all hell, that's great. But one of the examples with the table,
yes.
Then even though you don't have kavanah for what's underneath the table,
it's mutter, as long as it's not your kavanah.
One example was, it's still us, sir. The two barrels, I think, with the top on. Even though you
have four walls. If you create four walls, we don't. It's also we don't care about your kavanah.
So does kavanah count sometimes?
Kavanah counts when it's less than four walls, less than three walls. If the shelter is less than three walls, it's mutter, provided that your kavanah is for the surface, not for the shelter. If your kavanah is for the shelter, it's also even though less. If it's three walls, it doesn't make a difference what your kavanah is. It's automatically also. If you create a surface on top of something which has three walls, even though you could not care less that you've created a shelter, it's aser. It's aser. So if you take if you have a barrel, okay, a barrel. But it's very easy to solve the problem. If you have a barrel, the barrel has four walls. I'm not allowed to take a board and cover the barrel. Because by covering the barrel, I have now made a shelter over something which has four walls. I don't care what's inside the barrel. I'm only putting on a board, so I have a flat surface on top. It doesn't matter. The board is not the natural cover of the barrel. It's not a lid. It's not natural. And the bottom line is you've created a shelter, and there are four walls or even three walls. It's also there's a very easy solution. The easy solution in this instance is to just hold to construct it in an ordinary way, to hold the shelter in place and to insert the barrel underneath, or to turn the barrel upside down, and that's really the same thing. And then you can put the thing on top of it. Okay, that's the solution. Okay, now another example. What about wearing a hat, a Borsellino hat? The very wide brim. Today, I think the brims are going getting small, right? The new style is smaller brims. Well, it looks that way. What? Yeah. A little bit. I mean, there's a trend among certain group of people that love the dafka wear, but even among the trend, I think, is, you know, everything's style trend. It used to be years ago, I would say, 20 years ago, the style changed to become these incredibly wide brims. That's not so common anymore. The very wide brims. Oh no, that's the question. So there's the no. No, it's not a joke. It's a Gemara. This is a Gemara. The Gemara discussed. It's not clear lahalacha if you have a brim that's more than one tefach wide. It's not a joke. So what's the answer? The answer, Riviat says, our hats that we wear here, not talking about Texas sombreros, there's a problem. It's only for style. It's not, and then the combination of two reasons. Number one, it's considered to be an oil shalyat. It's not a real oil because it's not supported. It's putting it on your head is no different than holding it in your hands. And just holding it in your hands is mutter, provided that it collapses. So to wearing a hat is holding it in your hand. The problem, though, is it doesn't collapse. A hat, a felt hat, is... it's a constant, it's hard. It stays, the tefach extends. So the only reason why it's mutter is because we're not doing it with a kavana to make an oil. We're doing it for style. That's the style. It's not meant to protect you from the rain, from the elements. L'may nafgamina, if you're wearing, let's say, down in Texas, I have people that live down there, they're in Koilel, the one's a teacher, and they work there, and they wear, it's extremely hot, and you wear cowboy hats. You wear cowboy hats, and the cowboy hats are more than tefach wide, and they're meant for shade. They're not meant to protect you. They're not meant for style. No. There's also style also.
I think they really are meant for style.
So if you're wearing it for style, you're wearing... I asked this person once. He's a real Brooklyn flappish native. Got married. He got a good job. He went out there, and he can't... He's very... I don't know. So he told me it's in the summer, it is so hot, you can't imagine. I said, how do you deal? So he says he never watched television, you wear a cowboy hat? He says, you know why they wear cowboy hats? Because it really works. He tells me, he says, he has a cowboy hat. He says, it really protects you. It really, you wear it when you go out into the street, you wear these very big hats, it provides you with shelter. And it takes away some of the intensity of the heat. That is not allowed to be worn on Shabbos. Because, what?
Because
But you choose that particular style.
So you have to make a decision. You have to really make a very powerful decision. Are you wearing it for shelter, or are you wearing it for style? Rabbi Riviat says, it's a davar pashut ad mod. In Brooklyn, he says, it's davar pashut. Anyone who wears a black Borsellino hat, or even blue and gray, it's accepted, it's style. So there's no issue whatsoever, even though many hats do have a tefach and olive tefach. It's style. It's a combination of oil shaliyat, you're holding, you're supporting it, plus it's style, it's not a kavana, mutul l'chatchila. But if you're wearing a hat that you really wear, you can say the truth. You're willing to confess, I'm wearing it for shelter. I don't know, you gotta go, I don't know, he doesn't discuss what they do in Texas. You gotta go in the hot environments. Sombrero, you go out to Mexico, or a very hot environment, if they really, what is their true kavana? And if the kavana is for shelter, then it's a machlokes haposkim. Some say it's mutter, some say it's aser.
Same shaila, you wear a belt on your raincoat or a hood.
If it's attached as part of the garment.
I gave Sherman that.
But you're wearing it because
I want that's not oil.
It's part of the garment.
It's also with the
star. But Riviat, he brings down, let me give you an example. Riviat, he brings down, he was very fascinating, he brings down, I never heard of this farm, where there were communities where on Shabbos they did not put their talus over their head. They were makbid not to wear the talus, they wear the talus over during the weekday. Even though we have this thing called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nesatev Keshlech Tzibor, Nesatev means you do Hituf, you totally, but on Shabbos, you don't do this.
Even the culture?
That's what he says. Shocking. He says this, and he says, it is wrong. It is Shalaika Halacha. It says it's Shalaika Halacha, because like we said before, it's cloth. A talus is not a hat. It's not hard. It doesn't stay in place. Whenever you have a combination of these two factors, of it does not have real walls, it's only supported by your body, by your hands, or the weight of your body, and it collapses when you let go, like a talus, a piece of cloth, it is mutar l'chatchila, regardless of your kavana. Even though your kavana is to create a shelter, to protect me from the rain, it is mutter. The only time there is an issue is when it's not collapsible, like felt, or like something that's on a frame. If you have a cloth, he talks about... No, that's why he says it's wrong. It's shalaik halach. You're allowed to put the talus over your head. Even if you go... We talk about all different examples of people. Birchas kohanim. The kohanim, they make an ohel. You have a peak when they do birchas kohanim? Right? Do they have a peak? And they're moving their hands back and forth, all different types of kohanim. There are some that are very wild. There are some that I always peek, actually. Right? You don't even stock them. I daven, they have a lot of kohanim. A lot of kohanim. There's so many kohanim, they have to clear out the whole front of the Beis Medrash to make room for the kohanim. Right. Okay, but here you see there are some, there are all these different, I was so amazed, all the different minhagim. There's no one conforms to 1 minute. Some of them they wave back and forth. Some of them they do all these funny things. Okay, all the different things. But some of them make a real oihel. You're spraying the talus over your hands, right? The talus goes all the way to your hands, and you're no. That's mutu l'chatchila. Even if you have kavana, because it's cloth and it's been held up by your hands. He says another reason why you're allowed to put a talus on Simchas Torah, besides the fact that it is being held up by your hand and it's cloth, you're not really doing it, he says, to make a shelter. You're doing it for the covet of the Torah. I don't know what that means. I mean, the covet of the Torah is to make a shelter, right? Is that what you're trying to make a chuppah?
It's supposed to be a chuppah.
A chuppah, so, I mean, what is a chuppah? A chuppah means a shelter. But it's mutar l'chatchila.
It's a spiritual shelter.
So he writes, the Riviat says it's mutar. Four poles is mutar. If you have the cloth attached to four poles, for Simchas Torah, like you're allowed to hold the poles. Since you're holding it, it's no different holding the talus with your hand and having the four corners attached to poles. You're allowed to take the talus. And I guess you have to do before Shabbos, attach the talus to the poles on Shabbos itself. I don't know. Is that called tying toifer? Is that called maybe that's a shayla of tefira or a shayla of kshira? But let's assume the talus was tied to the four poles before Shabbos. And Riviat says you're allowed to hold the four poles in place. The only thing he says is problematic is if you have a cloth that's on a frame. It's not on poles. You have a square frame. Like go to a wedding hall. Go to a wedding and you don't commonly see any more holding poles. Sometimes they do it also. You see that also holding poles. But there's a cloth and the cloth is attached to a frame. What? So that's a curtain.
The frame like that?
I'm talking about a square frame. Here are a box. You have a square frame, and you have the cloth attached. And then you want to go, and let's say it's up against the wall, and you want to go and hold it. Everyone should hold the frame and hold it, even though that's no good. Being that it's on a frame, it has a status of like a tray, and one tray, even holding it in place with your hands, if your kavanah is to make a shelter, is like taking a tray or a box out in the street in order to protect yourself from the rain, and that is awesome. Okay, other...
Just want to recap.
Yeah?
According to what you're saying now, the way talus is no problem because it's not something which is stable, you know. Come on, if those people you said before that you always make sure that they don't put it over their heads.
We know that here.
The talisim.
He brings down. He seems like it was common. Right? He brings source and he says it is accepted that it is incorrect. There is absolutely no issue covering your head with a talis. You're making an OL. By spreading a talus over your head, in the process, when it's drooping, when the talus droops over your head, or let's say you're wearing a strimal. Some people, they put the talus over the strimal. They have a big strimal, so you're making an OL. You're making an OL. So it was their custom not to do this. I don't know what the reason. He wants to tell us that the minig nusach svart. Nusach svart, the minig is that during Chazaras Hashatz Musaf, you put on your hat.
Right.
Yes.
I think it's after Kedusha.
You put on your hat.
I do that.
Or your hat also. Hat also.
But then you don't put the towels
what?
Over the hat.
Yes.
That's the reason.
What's the reason? You're in a rush to go home.
No.
That's what I thought.
Because I thought
that was the reason.
It is to go home.
For sure it is.
No, it's not. I saw this going down here. There's some Kabbalistic reason.
It's only about Muslim.
That's you do it. I thought it was laziness. You're in a rush. I want to go home, clean the table. That's what I always thought. And then I came across. We learned this somewhere. And no, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, after you say kedusha,
you put on your hat.
You're supposed to put on your hat.
But you don't put anything on top of it.
Some do also. They're different than Hagen. No, you don't see that. You don't see. There is such no. It's what it says. I was with you. Just like laziness. Kiddush, right?
Because you're ready to go home. It's all I know. After to go home.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? Right? You'll say this. This the way we now. We made a whole tour out of it. That you without calf doing. Maybe you're right. Okay. Now he goes on to say very. He talks. He says there's a major problem. The major problem with oil is children's toys. Children's toys. The children have. I remember how we were child used to have like a play tent. Yeah.
On a baby carriage, there's no four walls.
A baby carriage, even though the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch said beferish from Rav Moshe, you should not open up the canopy because you're making an ohel. He very clearly doesn't bring any yesh cholkim. I didn't go look in every footnote.
You say it's like the chuppah which has the frame.
He says a yesoid, which makes everything very easy. And he says anything that is attached, permanently attached, as on a hinge, it's meant to open and close. There is absolutely no issue whatsoever. You can open it and close it, even if it was not open to Tevach before on Shabbos. He says, categorically, it is mutter to open up all of the baby carriages, to open up all of the canopies, anything you want. If it's attached, it's on a hinge, even if it's completely closed, there's no tefach open. A picnic table, if you have a permit, you have a picnic table, and you have that umbrella that's permanently attached, you're allowed to open it and close it on Shabbos. Okay, it's not an umbrella, because an umbrella is not mchubar l'kark, an umbrella, you can't. It's attached. If it's attached to the table, and the table is not going anywhere, you're allowed to open an awning. People have in front of their house a nice fancy awning, and you want to open up the awning on Shabbos, you want to turn the thing to open up the awning, go right for it. And it does not have to be one tefach wide. Sukkah shlak. If you're putting the shlak directly on top of the schach itself, you're allowed to do. You're allowed to do it because that's not an oil. There's no tefach. There's no tefach between the schach and the, like putting a plastic tablecloth on the table. There's no tefach. You can do it lechatchila. If it's on a frame, it's on a frame, a wooden frame, where there is a hefsek of a tefach between the schach and the frame, then if the roll of the shlach is permanently attached to your sukkah, it's screwed in, there's some mechanism, it's screwed in, you can roll it up all the way, you do not need a tefach. The only time you need there to be a tefach in order to extend it is if the shlach on the roll is not permanently attached to the wall, to the sukkah, just not attached. It's not attached, then you only can extend it if you have two problems. It's at least one tefach above, and it's at least one tefach already, then you'd be moisef. Then you can add to what already existed. But if it's completely rolled up and it's not attached, that's when you have the problem. Again, anything that is permanently attached on a mechanism, a hinge, is mutter. Sliding walls, he says, rubidrubid, they're all mutter, because that's the meant. The only issue is that many of the more elaborate, the bigger ones, when you finish moving it, you're supposed to lock it into place. You're not allowed to secure it on Shabbos. Securing it into the ground on Shabbos would be a shayla of boina deraisa. But you're allowed to move it and leave it flowing in the wind. Right? The very big rotations, you don't lean against it, because some you may not want to do it. Because if you lean against it, you know, then you could fall. You don't realize, you think it's a real wall, you have to secure it into the ground. That securing in the ground, he says, is very problematic. He goes on to say that when he wrote the Sefer probably 15 years ago, he says that even then, there are so many different types of sliding walls, different companies, different types, and you can't generalize, and every single wall has to be analyzed individually. The ones that have the problem, he says, are the caterers, because all the catering halls have these, a lot of shuls now have them also, and every single wall has to be analyzed by itself. Okay, the other thing he talks about are these doll houses. Some of these kids, they have these doll houses, these very big toys, which create an ohel. Are you allowed to move them on Shabbos? So he says, the two different types of toys.
Moving them. So let's say you have
the two different types.
Yeah, let's say you have a
chuppah
that will...
Wait.
You just mentioned it before, a chuppah that's a
six-pack.
It's open already.
Yeah.
And you want to move it to that location?
No.
It's slow slide.
You're not letting them move. You're not. You're
the oil is there already. Why is it worse than?
If the oil already is open, you want to move it. He seems to say you're not allowed. You're making a new oil by moving it to a new location. Making a new oil. It's not. You're not. You're only allowed to expand upon the pre-existing oil. But to take the whole oil and move it to a new location, that's like you're making a new oil.
If you want to stay under it.
Because don't hate. Stay under it. What do you know? But you're making.
Let's say it's raining. Let's say you have a little.
No, you're not allowed to.
And
no.
You want to walk with the
chuppah
on the street? He's put you away.
I did not see the example. I recall exactly inside, but the impression I got that it's awesome. That it's awesome. It's no different than taking the tray and walking with the tray.
Yeah, but the tray.
You're making the tray.
You make
the tray indoors. When you make the tray, you're not really doing. Are you really doing anything to make the tray? Well,
yes, you're
already indoors. Okay, it's I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but he seems to say that you're not allowed to move in oil. The example I remember clearly is he talks about a dollhouse. There are two different types of dollhouses. There are dollhouses that have floors, like the more expensive ones. So it has a roof, and then there's the third floor, the Brady Bunch, and the middle floor, and the bottom floor.
I had sons, I don't know about that.
Okay, there are three floors. So the roof is not really sheltering. The roof is not really sheltering the floor. It's so he says that's really a kli. That does not have. So when there's no problem, you want to move it, because when you're moving it, what are you doing?
When you pick it up over your head in the bottom.
Okay, so that if you pick it over your head, that's a different story. But let's say you have this massive dollhouse that's right in the living room. It's in your way. And you want to go to your Suda Shabbos, and your guests are coming, and it's not about coming to this massive dollhouse that these two-year-olds are playing with should be sitting where it is. I want to move it to the side. Are you allowed to move it? It's a massive thing. Of course, it's like a box. But if the dollhouse is the cheaper variety, where it just has a roof, and the roof is over the floor, you create some of these big plastic things, they create an ohel over the floor, then you're not allowed to move it. Because by moving it, you're making now a new ohel. That's four walls. This is the classic case of the barrel. You're not allowed to be soyser. You're not allowed to be soyser, and so you, right? It's soyser and binyan. So this is problematic. Okay.
You have a box.
Yeah.
Over dishes, the clothes. You don't want the cat to get to the food. You have a box over it.
Yeah, a box over what?
Empty box.
Yeah.
A box is oil on it.
Yeah.
And you want to take away the box now to get to the food. So you're being soiced oil.
If you have a box,
you're not taking it away. Let's say before Shabbos, you had two barrels with a piece of wood over it. Before Shabbos.
So you're saying it's soiced.
And now on Shabbos, you need the space. You want to take the board off, so you should just be able to walk around. You're soiced.
Maybe you're right. It sounds like a pretty big chumrah. It sounds like you're right. It sounds like it would be soyser. So may I do it in an unusual way? Is there an unusual way? I don't know. You're saying a good point.
Unless
I don't know the answer.
Kick over the barrel first, and then take away, and then
okay. Just a few other things about bonet. You're not ever allowed to put a doorknob back into a door on Shabbos. The doorknob falls off because that's meant to be permanently attached to the door. That's also a window crank. Right, some of the casement window, they have cranks. If it comes out, you're not allowed to put the crank back into the thing. It's also because that is
boina.
They're made to be removed.
You don't take them out all the time. You leave them in there. You can take them off.
They just slip off.
Yeah, but they slip off because you have to tighten the screw on it. That's why they slip
off. He holds you not allowed.
To stop forever.
Okay, another very common example, the handle of the broom falls out. I don't know if you have that good experience. You're not allowed to put it back inside. That is awesome. Okay, it's very common, the broom. Window, okay, what about Venetian blinds or window shades that fall down? Are you allowed to put them back up on Shabbos? So Yubidrubi, he says yes. Most of the time, as long as you're not tightening any screws, and they slip into place. They slip into place loosely. The same way they came out, they go back in. No, it's not. It's not.
But you can't put the thing
closed. You can't go. You can't
close the latch.
Not necessarily. He's very vague. He says if you're not doing anything, the different opinions, and if you're not using tools, and it's not permanent, it can be easily removed. There's definitely grounds to be mati. He talks about what I used to see very often is when the parochas, it always happens in the shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they put up the parochas, and it's inevitable. Everything falls. I've seen it all. I've seen everything possible that can possibly happen. All different types. Get stuck. The whole thing falls down. One part falls down. This part falls down. The ropes don't work. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Rosh Hashanah, you open the Aron Kodesh, Yom Kippur 100 times. Are you allowed to fix it? So he's not really clear. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. It doesn't seem like it's really usher. If you're not using tools and you're just hanging up something on a hook, and the same way it came off, it goes back on in an unprofessional way. Make radin it's smoother. It's smoother. If you need to go do something that to snap something very tightly in place, where there's some skill involved. That would be a shayla of boina makapatish or uvda dechol. He says the best thing is anyway you can have a Shabbos goy in shul, so the Shabbos goy should fix the parochas for you during the break. That is the ideal thing to do. You want about kovdik for the tzibur. All right. What other thing? Hang up curtains. Berach l'hilz. You're allowed to hang up a curtain as long as it's not the only restriction. Hang up a curtain is that you're not tied to the ground. As long as it's not tied to the ground, you're allowed even to put on the hooks. If you want to go put up a curtain like this, what he says, you can put the hooks up. That's what he seems to say. A curtain is much more lean when it comes to a temporary vertical mechitza. Has much more leniency than horizontal. Horizontal, the kavana, a vertical is always, the only time a vertical is usur, is like what we learn, where you're creating a halachic mechitza. Halachic mechitza is only when it comes to going to the Beis HaKiseh, tzoa. You want to make a bracha. You want to make a bracha in front of something which is considered to be Beis HaKiseh. That's the, you need a halach mechitza, or you want for a Shabbos. You want to make into you want to create a mechitza so you can carry inside an area. It should be called a reshus hayochit, like the erev goes down, right? So you want to somehow put up the erev to make a halach mechitza on Shabbos for a Jew to do so is also a goy can make you halacha. The erev goes down, the ideal thing is the goy to fix the mechitza. The other thing also a religious thing, and it has to be chal erev Shabbos and hashloshel. That's nonsense. It's just a lechi v'kora. It's a lechi v'kora is a good mechitza, even if a goy does it on Shabbos itself. But anything which creates a halachic rishus may not be done on Shabbos. But if it's not creating a halachic rishus, it's just for tznius, for privacy, you're allowed to put up the curtain on Shabbos as long as it does not involve any tools. It does not involve any screws and tools, just involves hooks. Putting something into a shower curtain. Just putting it into the hook, putting something like this.
That's why you get shade.
Shade, same thing. Exactly. As long as there are no tools and nothing too complicated, that is mutter. Though your kavanah is shelter. That's the leniency that we apply to a vertical partition that we do not apply to a horizontal mechitza. A horizontal mechitza, I want to go do something to create shade, I want to lie even though there's no walls, it's asur. That's a chumra of the Rabbanon. Horizontal is more chumra than vertical. Vertical privacy, I want protection, I want shade from the sun, from the rain, from people seeing me. You can put up a mechitza as long as it's considered by nature a temporary mechitza, where it's on hooks and it's not attached to the ground. The ground, it's loose in the ground, it can be moved. To tie it to the ground is always going to be usher, and to bolt into the ground. Okay, it talks about temporary, putting up like children, safety gates. Safety gates is mutter, because they're meant to be open and closed. Anything that's meant to be open and closed is mutter. Safety gates, hanging up tapestries in your house, fancy tapestries. If it falls down, you're allowed, he says you're allowed to put it back up. You're not attaching, it's just...
The grates on the store.
The grates on a store, yeah, why not, yeah. Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, why not? Why? Well, it's no different than a door. It's on a mechanism. His yisoid is anything that is on a mechanism is mutter. Even an oil, an umbrella. He says, refresh a picnic on table. You have these nice picnic tables, these heavy duty picnic tables, and in the middle there's a big umbrella. Heavy-duty umbrella, to open it, you're allowed to open it and close it on Shabbos. An awning in front of your house with a crank, you're allowed to open it and close it on Shabbos. A shlach, it's rolled up entirely on a track, it's attached, you can open it and close. Anything that's permanently attached, it's meant to open and close, is mutter lechatchila, to open and close. It's only also to create something new for the very first time on Shabbos. Alright, that's pretty much, we'll leave it with that for now. Okay, I'll take a 2